saved, thank the Lord. Encouraged and determined to live for the Lord. Desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Just a few of us here today, but we thank the Lord for everyone that's here. We want to turn to a very familiar text of Scripture, starting in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I want to start at the 10th verse. If you have that, you can read it for us. Yes. Finally, my brethren, it's talking to the saints here. It's talking to people that are saved. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in our own might, not in our own strength, but be strong in the Lord. We cannot fight our battles on our own without the Lord. We need God. All right? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So he says to us, put on the whole armor of God. Not just one or two things. Don't just get the shield. Don't just get the breastplate. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. You know what wiles are? Tricks. The devil is a deceiver. And one of the things that he wants to do is deceive you and me. Every one of us, every person that he can deceive, he's going to do that. So we need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All right? The trickery. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He's saying it to us again. Not just this is something that he wants to reiterate here. He wants to make certain that we understand how important it is for us to have on the whole armor of God. He didn't just say put on the armor of God. He said put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. All right, I want to stop there for a moment because the text of my scripture is found in this particular scripture. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now I want to present it to us like this, that there is something that we must do in order to stand. We cannot stand independently of God, first of all, but there are some conditions that we are going to have to meet. And after we've met those conditions, we can stand against the devil. No matter what the devil says, no matter how he comes, he may come, and sometime he does. He comes and stands in our face, and he stands in the way, and he does everything that he possibly can to distract us. He does everything that he possibly can to frighten us, to make us afraid of standing against him. But after we have done all, having done all the things that are required of us, having done all the things that the Lord has told us to do, then we can stand against the devil. Doesn't matter what he does, doesn't matter what he brings our way, doesn't matter what the trials and the tests of life are, we can stand against the devil after we've done our part. All right? The Lord is going to do his part. He's going to make available to every one of us this armor. One of the requirements, when they go over to Afghanistan and the different places, wherever we go and fight, the army is not the responsibility of the people that have been recruited and the soldiers to get their own armor. It is the responsibility of the commander to make certain that they have everything that they need to be able to withstand for whatever it is they're going to find over the circumstances in that place. Whatever the war demands, they're going to have to. The commander is responsible for making certain that every soldier has everything that he needs to be able to combat the enemy. All right? So the Lord is going to make certain that we have everything to our disposal that we need to be able to combat the enemy. But it is our responsibility, it is the responsibility of the soldier to make certain that he puts it on. They can give him all the boots that he wants, all the helmet, all the gear, all the body armor, all of the guns and everything, but it is the responsibility of the soldier after he has done everything. He knows what he's facing. He knows whether it's chemical warfare. He knows everything that he's having to deal with. It is his responsibility to take that on himself to protect himself that he'll be able to stand in the battle. All right? So he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There are some evil days that are coming on us. Not only are there some that are coming on us, there are some that are already upon us. We're having to fight the devil every day. Is there anybody here that doesn't have to fight the devil? Every one of us do. All of us have things that the enemy presents and he fights and presses against us. But saints, what I want to tell you today, what I want to tell you if you're saved today, I want to tell you that you can stand in the evil day, no matter what it is that comes, no matter how great the temptation, no matter how strong the enemy comes against you, you can stand after you've done everything that you know to do. You can stand on God's word. Lord, this is what you told me to do, and I followed your instruction, Lord. Lord, I've done what you told me to do. I'm doing what I know to do. After I having done all to stand, I've done everything that I know I can stand. Therefore, no matter what comes my way, by the grace of God. Now, if we haven't done that, there are going to be some problems. We're going to have some spiritual problems if we haven't done everything that we know to do. One of the requirements, one of the things that we learned in our Sunday school lesson today, one of the things that we learned is that there are some conditions to every promise that the Lord has. We already know that, don't we? But everything that the Lord gives us, there are some conditions to His blessings, aren't there? There are some things that He requires of us in order to receive of Him. Alright? Nobody, the blessing of salvation is for all of mankind. Every person on the face of the earth, from Adam to the last person that will be born, the last person that was born today, There is the blessing of salvation is available to them, to every one of us. You can be saved today. Every one of us can be saved. The whole world. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to save the whole world. All right? But there are some conditions that the world has to meet. Not every person today is saved. Not every person today loves the Lord. There are some that have experienced this blessing of salvation. You know why? Because they haven't met the conditions. What is the simple condition? The simple condition is that I repent of my sins. I confess my sins. I forsake them. I ask the Lord to cleanse me. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me from all of my sins. Do you know what happens? Then I receive, by faith, the blessing of salvation. But there's a condition that I meet. So it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, this is most important, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's good enough. Alright, so what he's saying is put on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, it's important for us that as we're going through the different trials and tests of life, to have a shield of faith. Do you know what faith, what a shield does? A shield protects us. The devil, in his cunningness, is going to try to come and lob a dart or lob some kind of weapon against us. And what is able to deflect that weapon is that I believe God's Word. I trust God's Word. You know, one of the things that the devil comes and tries to fight us with is fear. One of the things that happens, when you take into consideration an arrow or a dart that the enemy wants to do, what happens is, he says, it's just not a dart, but it's a fiery dart. And so what that can be done, it can be shot from a distance. And it can actually penetrate, and it can actually engulf, if you will, that individual. One of the things that they fought back in those times with fire, one of the things that they wanted is to engulf. Because what happens if you're engulfed in flames? You're not going to be fighting anything but the flames. You're going to be fighting to get yourself clear of the flames. And one of the things that the devil wants to do is he wants to lob a fiery dart at you. And what deflects that but the shield of faith? I hold it up and it hits the shield of faith, and the shield of faith is fireproof. It cannot lodge there. It hits it and falls to the ground. Saints, this is why it's important for you and I, to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Give me a level of faith that I don't have yet. Give me a level of trust in you that I don't have yet. I need it, Lord, because I want more faith, because I know the devil is fighting me. One of the things that we mentioned that he fights us is with fear. Whatever it may be, fear, anxiety, these are things that have the ability to engulf us and actually put us in flames. It starts a fear. The devil presents a thought in our mind, what if this? It may not even be something that's feasible. Maybe it is something that's feasible. Sometimes it may not even be something that is even possible in the way that the devil wants to present it to us. But what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what happens is, if we're not careful, we'll be engulfed in flames, and we're worried, and we're anxious, and we're fearful about something that we don't even need to be fearful about. And so what we do, we say, Lord, rebuke the very thought. Lord, I put up the shield of faith, and it'll quench every one of those fiery darts. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to read your word. Help me to stand on your word. I've done everything that I know. You said, casting all of my care on you because you care for me. Lord, I've done everything that I know to do. I've gone the limit of what I believe that you require of me. Lord, if there's more, open up my understanding. I'm willing. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you would have me to do. And as we do that, after we've done everything that we know to do, then we can just stand here and the Lord will come and rescue us. All right, I want to turn to Joshua. I want to start reading 7th chapter, starting at the first verse. We'll probably come back to that.
Chapter 7:1.
Yes.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass as they accursed, saying,
yes.
For Achan, the son of Carmi,
yes.
The son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah.
Of the tribe of Judah. He took of the cursed thing.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel.
And it kindled against the children of Israel because he did something that the Lord told him not to do. He wanted a Babylonian's garment. He wanted the wedge of gold. He did all the things that the Lord said, don't take anything. When they fought against Jericho, the Lord said, don't take anything. I want you to destroy everything. Now, it wasn't necessarily wrong for him to have a wedge of gold because the children of Israel had gold. And that wasn't necessarily wrong in particular that he had a garment that came from someplace else. That within itself is wrong. This is why some people try to say, well, there's nothing wrong with me doing this, and there's nothing wrong with me doing that. But it's wrong if the Lord tells you not to do it because you haven't done what you know to do. The Lord told, you know, there are a lot of things, and I've said it many times, there are a lot of things that other people can get by with that I can't. And there may be some things that I can get by with that you can't. Because the Lord told you not to do it. Here the Lord told Achan and he told the children of Israel, I don't want you to take anything from Jericho. I don't want you to take anything. But he did it anyway. He disobeyed the Lord. All right? And so this is what happened. Read, please.
And Joshua sent
men from Jericho
to Ai,
which is beside Bethaven,
on the east side of Bethel.
And he spake unto them, saying,
Go up
and view the country.
And the men
went up and viewed Ai.
And they
returned to Joshua, and said unto him,
Let not all the people
go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went out scouting. They had gone to Jericho, and the Lord had given them such that children of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan River, and they had gone into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And the Lord was going to give them all, every place that the sole of their foot shall tread upon. The Lord said, I've given it to you. Not that I'm going to give it to you. He said, I've already given it to you. It's yours. But the condition is that you've got to walk on it. And you know, the Lord gives us victory. He gives us places. But we've got the condition that he wants us to meet is that we've got to walk in these places in order for us to be able to obtain them. They're ours. And so this is what the promise was. And he said, but I want you to obey me. What did he do? They walked around Jericho 7 times. 1 time every day for 7 days. On the 7th day they walked around 7 times. They couldn't say a word. These are things that the Lord was teaching them. He was instilling in them, you need to follow every instruction that I give you. After you've done that, after you've done everything that I've told you, having done all the things that I've told you, follow my instruction, then you're going to be able to stand against your enemy. The Lord gave them that promise. And this Jericho, the wall of Jericho, when it came down, they began to shout. When the trumpets blew, the wall of Jericho came down. That was the Lord telling them, see, I told you what I was going to do, and I want to reiterate to you that I am a faithful God that you can trust. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And you know, we read this word, and we come to the understanding that we can trust the Lord because He did it for someone else, He'll do it for me. But the condition is that we have to do what He tells us to do. We have to meet the condition. Having done all, having done everything that I know to do, now I can stand against the enemy. Now here, the children of Israel, they're at the next battle that they're going to face. A small city, not nearly as big and not as walled as Jericho, not nearly as impenetrable as Jericho. They knew they couldn't get through the walls of Jericho. But so the Lord just took the walls down. Do you know the Lord has the ability to do that? The Lord has the ability to just take for the walls to just fall down when we obey Him and we do what He tells us to do. Having done all, then the walls fall down. We have it now. If I'm on the inside of that wall and the wall starts crumbling down, do you suppose that I'm going to have a lot of strength to fight? If the men of Jericho, they're seeing all these things that they thought were their protection, now is just gone. And now these people, we don't know how that happened. Some supernatural power did this. What can we do to stand against it? We can't do it. Do you know the devil can't stand against us when we do what the Lord tells us to do? He'll make those walls fall down. Now they're at Ai, the next city that the Lord wants to give them, that He promised that I'm going to give you every place that the sole of my feet shall tread upon, the sole of your feet shall tread upon. I've already given that to you. Now, let's go and look at Ai. They looked at Ai, and it is a small city. He said, you know what? We don't need to send a lot of men there. Just send about 3,000 men. It's a small city. We can take that. And so what happened? Let's read.
So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men.
They went up about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai, which that should have been a very simple, easy victory. But it was an embarrassing defeat for the people of God. And it was only the second battle that they faced in the land of Canaan. You know what? We can be some hard, human beings can be hard-headed. We think we know. We think that we can hide something from God. We think we can hide something from other folks. Do you realize that some of the reasons that we can't have the victories that we have today is because folks is hiding too much stuff. Lord, help us. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to be honest with the Lord. Help us to realize and know that what I do not only affects me, it's my business, and it ain't nobody else's business. What I do, yes, it is somebody else's business what you do. We are affected by what everybody does. We are affected by the person that we don't even know that committed a murder last night. We are affected by the person that is not living right. The person that's a dope addict. We are affected by that because all of these laws are placed into effect because of them. I'm affected by you. You're affected by me. And let me tell you, do you know what the scripture says about ye, the salt of the earth? They are affected by us. When we live right, when we do right, when we have done all that we know to do, then we affect the world. We preserve this world. I affect my family. It is not just, well, I'm doing it, and it's not going to have any effect on my wife and children. Oh, yes, it will. What my wife does, what my children do, what you do has an effect on your community. Lord, help us. We are not alone. Well, it's just me. I'm a grown man and I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Because what you're doing is affecting me. This is what is taking place right here. Achan took it and he hid it. Nobody knew about it. Nobody knew his little secret. But let me tell you, his secret was exposed because somebody, the children of Israel, didn't have the victory that they needed when they went against this little old army. Lord, help us. All right, read. The men of Ai smote them about 36 men. They chased them before the gates. The hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now here, all, coming up off this great victory, we just routed Jericho, and now we just have this level of confidence in our own mind that we're going to go from one victory to the next, from victory to victory. That's the way it should be, saints. That's the way it is. That's the way it is when we have done all that we know to do. Then we go just from one victory to the next victory to the next victory. All right? But he said, now here, they've gone from this great victory. Now they're in Ai, and now they should have had another victory, and it wasn't. All right? Read.
And Joshua rent his clothes
and fell upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back upon the enemy? We didn't know what the problem was. We are looking at this from historical standpoint, but this was in real time for Joshua, and Joshua was saying, Lord, I don't understand something. I don't understand how we just had just a magnificent victory in Jericho, and now this we should have had a magnificent victory here. What are you doing, Lord? It's your fault, apparently. That's all that we know, because from what I'm looking at, everything is in order. And so he goes, and the men of it, they humble themselves, and the elders humble themselves, and they began to seek the Lord. Lord, what shall we do? What shall we say? How can I go back and face these people and tell them that, well, I don't know what happened. What am I going to say, Lord? So we've got to get an answer from you. So tell us, Lord, tell us what happened. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our names from the earth. And what wilt thou do with thy great name? All right, and the Lord's getting ready to answer. Lord, because we're not just concerned about us. We are concerned about us. But we're concerned about the name of the Lord. We're concerned about that we have boasted that God is able to do all these wonderful things. Now, Lord, now what's going to happen to your name? They're going to drag your name in the mud. So he goes, he says, and the Lord begins to speak. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Get up, Joshua. Why are you lying upon on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. All right? For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. They, who are they? Who are they? But he's talking about all of Israel. Lord, help us. Achan and his family, maybe that's the thing. Apparently his family knew about it. I don't know if they did or not necessarily. But the Lord is blaming all of them. Lord, help us. And the reason that Israel failed was not because everybody stole something, but because one man did. And then he hid it. And it was unknown to everybody else. Nobody else knew about it. And everybody was searching their lines, searching, why, Lord? Wanted to know, Lord, why do you do this to us? Why did you allow this to happen to us when it was one man? All right, read.
Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before
their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed.
Neither will I
be with you anymore, except you destroy the curse from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God to Israel, there is a cursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the cursed thing from among you. I want us to consider that for a moment. Because all of us have tents. All of us have a little place that's our own place. All of us have a secret heart. All of us have things that we say are just, this is just me. It has no effect on anybody else. It's not, I'm not affected. You're not, they're not affected by if I hold on to this and I do this and because I want it, I desired it. And they're not affected by it. Oh, yes, we are. You're not affected if your pastor does something wrong and hides it. You're not affected by that? Absolutely. This is why we have to keep ourselves clear and clean and pure before the Lord. Because it not only affects us, it affects everybody. He says here, he says, they have done this thing. So it's not just, and as far as Joshua is concerned, Joshua don't know who it is, that who the they is that the Lord is talking about. So he says, I want you to get up, and I want you to line everybody up, and I want and he didn't say, go get Achan. The Lord didn't say that. I don't know necessarily why the Lord did it, but I believe he wanted to give a lesson to the children of Israel. The reason that you cannot stand before your enemy is because there is something that you've done that you shouldn't have done. Having done all to stand, you stand. If they had done everything that the Lord had told them to do in Jericho, and he had left that Babylonian garment and that wedge of gold and all the things that he took and hid in his tent, if he had left that in Jericho, Ai would have been a cinch. Wouldn't have been any problems whatsoever. But do you know what we have to do? We've got to go to those secret places in our own heart. Lord, help us. We've got to go to those places in our hearts that we are reserved, they're just for me, and I don't have to tell nobody about it. Well, I don't want you to tell me about it, but I want you to tell the Lord about it. Do you realize that there are some things that we don't have to tell everybody? You don't have to tell when the Lord tells you to tell it. Sometimes we need to get it outside of ourselves, and we need to make a confession. But you know, sometimes folks come to the altar and I say to them, you don't have to go into detail. The Lord knows what's in your heart. And sometimes we don't want to know everything, but sometimes it's necessary for that person to get those things outside of themselves, because the scripture says very plainly that if you confess, and what is confession? It is, and it says for us to confess our faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The things that are wrong with me, there are some times that I need to be in a place of confessing them. I need to get them out of me and outside of me, and I can hear me say what's wrong with me. And I can be honest with myself, and I can say to myself, you know what, that's my problem. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, I've said this many times. Have you ever thought of something and you're thinking about it, and then when you say it, it sounds worse than what you were thinking? Well, sometimes that's how it has to be, all right? We say it. And then sometimes we just need to confess it to the Lord. Lord, you know my issues. You know what's in my tent. You know what's there, Lord. And you know, I have not been able to have the level of victory that I need to have. Because I couldn't stand, Lord. I couldn't stand against these things. Why could I not stand against these things? Because there's something there that the Lord wants you to dig up and dig out and deal with it, face it, embrace it, and ask the Lord to release it. I don't want it anymore. All right? Let's go a little further. Says here, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, read.
In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be.
Yes.
That the tribe which the Lord taketh
shall come according to the families thereof,
and the family which the Lord shall take
shall come by households. And the household, when the Lord shall take, shall come man by man. Do you see how he did? He said, everybody's going to come. And we're going to take the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and we're going to set them down, and we're going to tell them that the Lord says that there's a cursed thing among us. So we're having this, we're having a meeting. And Joshua standing before all of the congregation, he said, the Lord says that there is an accursed thing among us. And this is what we're going to do. And then you know what that does in one sense? It makes each one of us accountable for each other. And the Lord says to them, he said, Joshua says to the people, well, the reason that we lost Ai and the reason that 36 people are dead today is not because they were weak, but because we did something wrong. We have to bear it. And so he comes and he has the whole congregation and he says, all right, now once the whole congregation is there, he's going to take them by tribe. One tribe at a time. And then when he gets to the tribe, you see how the Lord does? I wonder if the Lord gave Achan an opportunity in all of that. To say, wait a minute. I don't know what everybody else has done, but I know what I did. At the very first meeting with everybody, he said, you know what? Saints, forgive me. Joshua, pray for me. I saw something and I was desirous of it, and I took it, and I lied, and he was just blatantly honest. I wonder what would have happened. I don't know. But it got all the way down until it got to families, and then man by man, and we knew what happened. Saints, let me tell you, the essence of what I'm saying here is what you do affects others. What you do affects me. Do you know why the scripture says very plainly for us to pray for the leaders of our land, those that are kings and those that are in authority? Because President Obama is up there making decisions, and Boehner and all the other, and they're just fighting. You see how they fight? The Republicans are going to make certain that the Democrats don't get what they want. The Democrats are going to, Lord have mercy on these folks. And you know whose lives they're playing with? Ours. Because they're talking about a sequester right now. They're cutting funds. You know, they sent the folks to war. We had a surplus. They sent folks to war. And then now we have a deficit like we've never had before. That affects us. Now the economy is being affected. The gas prices are going up. Food prices. You don't think we're affected by the decisions that they're making in Washington? Absolutely. And we don't even know the folks. We don't know half of their names. But we are affected by what they do. We are connected. We're affected by what they're doing over in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and all these other places because we are one world. So we cannot say that what I do is my business. It's not anybody else's business. Oh yes, it's my business too. What you do is my business. So you see here, they didn't do all that they could. So, let's drop down a little bit. Lord's bringing this to me. And let's go to, let's get 16. Y'all bear with me. So Joshua rose early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes. Tribes of Judah were taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family. Yes. He brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, Zabdi was taken. Now, do you see, first of all, it's everybody, then it's the tribe, then it's the family in the tribe, now it's man by man, and now that was at least three or four opportunities for him to have made the confession. How many times does it take for the Lord? How many chances did the Lord give you to make the confession? How many chances? He's merciful. He's a merciful God. He loves you. And maybe this is his way of saying, you know, if I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to give him one more chance. All right, read.
He brought his household,
man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zethi, son of Zerai, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God. Yes. And make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I know it's you, Achan. Don't hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. And you know what? I believe the Lord appreciated his honesty. I don't know what the Lord did altogether about that. That's between him and the Lord. But Lord, I did this. All right? Sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. I saw among the a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight. I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under. All right. Now, we know what happened. We know how what the Lord did. But this is why he wasn't able to stand, because he hid something in his tent. Saints, help us. Lord, help us not to hide in things in our tent. Dig it in the earth. When somebody comes, everything looks like it's in order. But underneath, there's something that is preventing me from being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because I've embraced one of the wiles. I've embraced one of his trickeries. That I coveted after something that the Lord gave me clear direction not to do. And I did it anyway. All right, let's go a little further here. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. about you?
Stand fast in the faith.
Stand fast in the faith.
Quit you like men. Be strong.
Be strong. Watch. So one of the things that we have to do in order to stand, having done all, have done everything, one of the things that I have to do is watch. Watch for what? I've got to watch my spirit. I've got to watch my attitude. I've got to watch my honesty. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, that a lot of people are not as honest as they need to be. People out in the world, there used to be a level of honesty that everybody had. It wasn't a trickery. It wasn't trying to hide something from somebody. And do you know what? There are certain inclinations, there are certain propensities, character defects and flaws that we all have had. I don't believe there's anybody here that doesn't have a character flaw or character defect that the Lord is dealing with and the Lord is working with you on, and you have to keep that under the blood in order to maintain victory. I've done all to stand, you stand there. Lord, I know I can't let this little area in my life get out of line, because if I do, this will happen. And so you watch yourself. You watch you. Take your eyes off of everybody else, and take your eyes off of blaming everybody else for your problems. You know who's... I had to learn this. I had to learn it the hard way. You know who's responsible for where I am? I am. I can't blame my wife because she didn't support me like I wanted her to support me. Let me tell you what I have. And that's the closest person to me. And you know, we are, and I've known of people like this that tend to blame somebody else for whatever their problems are right now. No, I am the captain of my ship. Lord, if she didn't support me, I could have prayed and I could have asked the Lord, Lord, have mercy, help her to get where she needs to be. And what I've learned is oftentimes when there wasn't the support or whatever, I don't know why I brought that point out. My wife is a good support. But here's the point. There are times when she has to... And you know what? Most of those times, I've learned that she didn't need to. Here, let me tell off on myself for a minute. I'm not going to go too deep, so y'all don't have to cringe. You know what? Generally speaking, anyway, watch. Stand ye fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. So I've had to learn. And I'll go ahead and say it. I had to learn that there are times that you want to do something that is not the wisest thing to do, but you think it is. And so you go to your closest advisor. And they say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And you try to explain it to them. And you try to convince them, and they still say no. Well, you asked me for my opinion. You didn't ask me to agree with you. You asked for my opinion. And that's an honest opinion. And so you know what? It takes you back for a moment, and you stop. And you don't have the full go-ahead, so you stop and you redirect your mind. And as you redirect your mind, you see something about that you hadn't seen before. You were just walking over it, and now you see something that you hadn't seen before. That watch, Lord, help me to watch. And had you done it, you know that things wouldn't have turned out as good as you thought that they would. And so the Lord had this check and balance in a marriage. And the Lord had to check and balance in relationships. Whatever the relationship, friend relationship, they're not going to always agree with what you do. And so the Lord checks and balances in whatever kind of relationship, sibling relationships. Whatever the relationship may be, the Lord has these checks and balances, because we would go over and we can't blame everybody for our problems and our fault. Quit be like men. Be strong. You get your feelings all hurt and you get down because she didn't agree. My wife, you know... Because somebody didn't agree with you. Lord, help us. Quit ye like men. Be strong. You can stand by the grace of God. Just redirect. And Lord has helped me over the years to redirect and not to be so concerned and to know everybody doesn't agree with what I'm saying. So what? When they don't agree, it just means that the Lord don't want you to mull over, because there's something there that you need to watch for, that you, in your zeal and in your whatever, that you wouldn't be, when you just roll over it, and it would be to your detriment. Watch ye. Stand fast. Stand in the faith. Having, above all, take the shield of faith, that I believe the Lord's going to get me through this thing.
Quit ye like men. Put yourself together like a man and be strong. All right. Watching for the enemy and watching your own heart. Those are two things that we have to do. We're almost done. Appreciate your patience. Philippians 1:27. Someone get us Proverbs 23 and 23. Philippians 1:27.
Only let your conversation
as it becometh the gospel of Christ.
Whether I come or
else be absent,
I may hear of your affairs.
That you stand fast
in one spirit,
with one mind,
striving together
for the faith of the gospel. But he's saying that to a congregation of people. Lord's saying it to us. The one thing, whether I'm with you or whether I hear about you, I want to hear that you stand fast. That you stand against the powers of the enemy, that you stand against temptations, that you stand in against the trials and the tribulations, that you can stand fast, striving together. Striving together. Saints, do you know we need each other? We need you. I say that to folks. You know, if you're not here, there's some that are not here today for whatever reason. And I feel like, no doubt, legitimate reasons. But we miss you. We miss you when you're not here. There's a striving together. We're fighting the enemy together. Lord, help us to be able to do that. All right? Proverbs 23:23.
By the truth.
By the truth.
And sell it not.
And sell it not.
Also wisdom.
And instruction.
And understanding.
And understanding. Nope, so buy it. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Wisdom, understanding, instruction. You know what? We say salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs you something. Having done all to stand, having done everything that I know to do, then I'm going to stand. I'm going to hold on to the truth that the Lord has shown me. You know, I believe with all of my heart that this will take us to heaven. This is not for show. It's not for entertainment.
Yeah.
We wanted entertainment, we'd go somewhere else. But what we do here is of utmost importance. And help us to buy the truth. And if somebody's going to come, and the devil's going to come and tell you. You remember how Esau and Jacob, for a bowl of pottage, he sold his birthright. What was rightfully his for something that was temporary that he could eat right now, but he's going to get hungry in a few hours. He sold what was rightfully his. Do you know what folks do for the things of this world? They'll sell their birthright to heaven. They'll sell the truth for something that is less costly. This doesn't cost as much for me to live this way as it does for me to live the way that God requires of me. Buy the truth, sell it not. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. And then someone, Jude 24, we'll be done.
1 Corinthians 10:12.
Yes.
Therefore,
let him that thinketh he standeth,
take heed,
lest he fall. Now, so we're talking about standing. Having done all to stand, some folks are braggarts. You know somebody that's a braggart, they brag about everything. And heard somebody, Brother Daniel, say, when you find somebody that talks too much, they probably lying. Some folks lying. Now, I know some folks that brag a lot. We all do. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you can brag all you want to out there in the temporal matters, but when it comes to spiritual matters, we're saved by the grace of God. We stand not in our might, not in our own strength, the scripture says that we started with. It didn't say stand in the power of your might. It says stand in the power of his might. The Lord is able to do this for you. And he said, he that thinketh he stands in his own power, take heed. Watch it, lest you fall. All right? One thing that happens, as a general rule, a person that falls is always falling from a standing position, as a general rule. You're from a standing position, you fall. So we found out that if you are over self-confident, if you're hiding something, you can't stand. He that thinketh he standeth, and he's confident in himself, take heed lest you fall. Jude 24.
Now unto him
that is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't have to yield to temptation. You don't have to fall into temptation.
You don't have to do that. You can stand against your enemy. You don't have to turn your back to your enemy. You can stand in the midst of whatever it is that you're facing by the grace of God. Pray for me.